Kicking off the 5 o'clock hour as we continue on the drive, 1700 the champ. Wolfgang and Trent here with you and taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football, we got the call for you on the champ this evening. It'll be the Dallas Cowboys hosting the New Orleans Saints. A lot of big stories going on. The ongoing saga, as we talked about earlier, Wolfgang, with Gary Barta, the two-game suspension. And, we'll get into it here. Let's hit the top five at five. It's brought to you by Wolf Construction Roofing. Winter right around the corner. If you waited too long, think you might not be able to have time. They can get most every project done in one business day, in and out. Make that house look good. Get ready for winter and do it with Wolf Construction Roofing. All right, let's get going here, Wolfgang. And, start as we always do.
Number one.
Let's start with what I mentioned, Gary Barta. Gary Dolphin, the saga in Iowa City. Iowa prepares for the first time in over 3 years for a top 25 matchup. And this is what we're talking about. Wolfgang, Gary Barta, is he the worst athletic director in the country, or is he the worst athletic director in the country? I mean, the press
Gary,
release.
Gary. So we got Gary, worst, yes. Worst. Yeah, I'll get you. That was kind of clever. I'm not sure you meant that, Trent.
He just leaves me scratching my head. The guys over at Go Iowa Austin, they put together a full list of the gaffes that have happened in his tenure at the University of Iowa. Wolfgang, it's head scratching, but again, your thoughts.
So, yeah, it's funny. Yesterday, we didn't get to talk about this as much as I would have liked. Kind of rushed it there a little bit here and there with meetings and blah, blah, blah. I found it weird. I still find it weird. I thought this could have been something that we didn't have to blow up into a huge deal. I understand why some of the Hawkeye fans that I respect and trust and are big Hawkeye fans, I understand why they think it's a big deal. I do. I don't think it needed to be blown up into this proportion. Not sure 100% what you think on that, Trent. I didn't like what Gary said. What was the exact quote coming out and talking about how this had been, you know, kind of like percolating for a little bit, essentially, right?
Right?
I mean, so what is this being set up for him to be gone? Bye-bye, Gary'd?
I think that's certainly the direction they're heading. And when earlier today during the media availability for the basketball team before the matchup with Wisconsin, Gary Barta, the athletic director, didn't show up. He didn't show up. They will have at 6:15, 45 minutes before tip, he'll be available to the media members. And the reason behind it is there are still some more things that he needs to settle. That's what was said today at the press conference over there. The term that you're looking through for, though, from that press release yesterday, ongoing tensions, is what was talked about. Fran McCaffrey today, he was talking, and he says, I don't think it's any surprise. People know that there has been tension there. So there's a lot happening here. Here's a bigger question. Let's go here.
Number two.
Does Gary Dolphin, the voice of the Hawkeyes, he is suspended for the Wisconsin game and the Michigan State game.
This is embarrassing. I'm sorry.
Are you ready? Here's the question. Does Dolph call another Iowa basketball game?
I think you asked me that yesterday. I laughed at you just like I laughed at you now.
I asked what he called the next one.
Yeah.
And you thought that was laughable, and then 45 minutes later, it turned out to be true.
I tweeted even going, if this is going to happen, if they're going to suspend Gary Dolphin for the Wisconsin game, this is laughable, .. Wow. That's what I said.
And then it happens.
And then it happened literally 25 minutes later. I think people thought I knew, like I got some sort of inside connection. I didn't even think he was going to be suspended for two games. I didn't see that coming. I'm talking to smart and brilliant people that agree that you can't do what he did, Trent.
Yeah.
You can't. But apologize. There's a way around this. There's a way to put out this fire, if you even call it a fire. And I've got guys that I've known forever that are huge Hawkeye fans that are mad. For real. They're mad, and they're good dudes. They're good dudes. But we just happen to disagree. I don't think this is a huge deal. But it obviously must be, and I don't know the stuff behind the scenes. It's obvious if you heard this over the years, Trent, where the awkwardness with the interview, that's obvious, man.
Yeah.
You can feel it. And this isn't something I'm just saying after the fact.
Oh,
if you didn't know that at the time, then you don't feel like you don't feel guys that connect. I'm not saying they didn't just connect. You could tell. You could tell, Trent.
You could, and it's an unfortunate circumstance that continues here. Let's go on.
Number three.
All right, Wolfgang, Monday Night Football tonight as we move away from Dolphin Gate. What are we calling this thing? I hate having to put gate after everything. That's a lazy, bad work out of me.
It's all right.
Wolfgang, tonight, do the Cowboys have a shot here? They're at home. Week to prepare. Not a short week with a Thursday night game. New Orleans has looked good. New Orleans has seemingly done everything right, but it does feel like the Cowboys are resurgent tonight. You can hear it here on 1700 The Champ. Do we get a good football game?
I don't think so. No. Do you? I don't think the Cowboys are for real. I think New Orleans is for real. It would be great if we actually saw something here. I am becoming a, I know you make fun of me because I don't have a, you know, a favorite NFL fan. I, you know, root for more storylines. I root for more players. Who wouldn't want to see Drew Brees win another one? I don't know anybody that doesn't like Drew Brees. If you don't like Drew Brees, there's something wrong with you. Look in the mirror. I mean, he does it the right way. He's not big and strong and some stud that was just given God-given birth. He just completes 77% of his passes. Strand, is that any good? He's got the best QBR or whatever they call that. Any, I know you're not a big fan of that, but at least it's somewhat of a gauge. Obviously, a lot of times there's an outlier where it's a joke. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's having a very good year. Can we say that? And he's about a month, probably less than a month away from his 40th birthday. Everybody's bringing up the Tom Brady stuff and has been for good reason. Well, this guy's, I mean, a hop, skip, and a jump from 40. Less than a month, I believe, from his 40th birthday, and this guy is getting it done. So I'm rooting for a big time for the Saints to get it done. I know there's tons of Cowboy fans out there. I do like Dak. Interesting to see if he gets the huge contract. Does he deserve it? I mean, I don't see much out of him. Does he deserve $28 to $30 million, Trent? I don't. You'd have to tell me that. I don't see that. But no. You got to have a quarterback, don't you?
You do. You do. This was the time period when the Cowboys should have been beefing up. I mean, this is the time with a quarterback and a rookie contract that you need to have your roster in tip-top shape, as we saw with the Eagles. We've seen with the Rams now with Goff. This is the time to do it, and that window is quickly closing for the Cowboys. I like the Cowboys in the points tonight, by the way. Yeah, throw that in for you.
Number four.
By the way, the Drew Brees numbers are ridiculous. 76.4% completion percentage, averaging 8.8 yards per attempt. 3,100 yards, 29 touchdowns against two picks. Absolutely nuts out of Drew Brees. All right, Wolfgang, speaking of the NFL, a guy that's numbers not close to that is one Mitchell Trubisky. Now it looks more and more like he is not going to be playing against the Giants. If they were playing the Packers, the Vikings, the Rams this week instead of what they do next week, would Mitchell Trubisky be playing in this football game Sunday?
That's tough to say. I'm not a doctor. I just love doing it on the air and telling people when they're wrong. I have no idea, Trent. You probably know more about that than I do. But is this going to affect him in the long run? Can he get some... you always told me, Trent. You've told me for 2 weeks. You've always told me 2 weeks ago that the backup quarterback isn't that big a deal. I heard you say with Ken Miller that I think you called him... your backup quarterback, what, the 22nd best quarterback in the NFL?
Something like that, yeah.
That's some good knowledge. So absolutely they're making the right decision then. Give him a little time to heal up a little bit. If you've got the 22nd best quarterback, I know Trubisky, I don't know where you would actually rate him. If you look at his like numbers, and if you're a math dork, you've got him way up there. If you look up some of that math dork stuff, Trent, where they have him, I mean, he's obviously not that high. We know
right,
that.
Right.
But some of the math dork stuff have, I mean, they have Mitchell Trubisky very high. I have not seen that out of him. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying he's great. But some of the math geek stuff, they love the dude.
You know, speaking of that, as a fan, this is, I feel like I've seen this before. You know, we can get by another week with our backup. We're not playing anybody good. And then you go and lose the game. And it's still the NFL. And the Giants stink. I get that. But I keep envisioning Eli doing something dumb. I don't know, a helmet catch or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
Saquon makes a couple of big plays, and all of a sudden you're looking up and, oh, hey, look at this. We're down 20-10 in the fourth quarter. What are we going to do? I just, for whatever reason, as a fan, that continues to stick in my mind. A little bit concerning, and concerning with Trubisky, too. This is a guy that needs reps. He needs to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a throwing shoulder injury? I mean, there's a whole lot there to unpack. Certainly has me concerned as a Bears fan.
Number 5.
All right, let's finish up here and take a look at this as we sit here on a Thursday. A quiet night overall in college basketball. In fact, no top 25 teams in action at all tonight.
Oh, boo.
It is going to be overall pretty ugly one in the world of college basketball. The good news, well, we got the Sunday night game we talked, or Thursday night game we talked about in the NFL, Saints Cowboys. But yeah, I always have to have something else to click back to.
Sure.
And Wolfgang, I'm excited for the NBA tonight.
Oh, yeah. Look at you and your bad
stuff. I'm bringing it. I'm leaving it to you. Now, the nightcap is Clippers Sacramento. Normally, that'd be, oh, good God. But Sacramento's fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, Fox, he's fast and he's awesome to watch. That Sacramento team has been entertaining when I watched them this season. They're taking on the Clippers, who does have the best record in the West, but that's really not the game. The game is 7 o'clock, your NBA Finals preview. The Golden State Warriors in Toronto to take on Nick Nurse and the Toronto Raptors. Wolfgang, I'm pumped for the NBA tonight. How about you?
Everybody wanted to, and I didn't get it. There are certain teams I don't get. I didn't get before the season that you're pumping up or you're poo-pooing. I didn't get the whole Toronto and poo-pooing the stuff. We should have had a preseason NBA show. I know you would have loved that. And you regret not doing that. Man, I'm sorry I didn't push that harder. But you lose an all-star, you gain a better player that plays defense, that plays both sides of the ball. What was not to like? I mean, LeBron goes to the West. That was their problem. Mm-hmm. They had the number one seed last year. They had some sort of hiccup with LeBron. Guess what? Everybody does, pretty much. Why would you not? There was a bad matchup for pretty much everybody on that team. They had nobody to guard him. He could do what he wanted. He hit two game wonders, if I'm right. Last year, Trent off, I mean, at buzzer beaters.
Mm-hmm.
Literal buzzer beaters. Two out of the, it only went four games, didn't it? And Toronto was the number one seed. That's pathetic. So you add you add Leonard, who got a new shoe deal, by the way. You going out and getting your New Balance shoes?
New Balance?
Am I wrong there?
That's what grandpas wear. New Balance.
New Balance? That was, it's, but yeah, I mean, seriously, New Balance. Who is going to go buy a Kawhi Leonard shoe? Can you please tell me one person out there that's going to go buy that? Steph Curry, obviously Steph Curry's a stud. Mm-hmm. He's changing the game. He's the dude. He's the man. Those white man, straight white shoes that he bought that were from Under Armour, those were bad, man. Those were horrible. But it was Steph Curry, so it was okay. Do you know anybody in your life or in anybody's life that would want a Kawhi Leonard shoe?
Not Greg Popovich, I know that much.
Yeah, they're not fans.
That's the Top 5 at 5 brought to you by Wolf Construction Roofing. Coming up here on the other side, we're going to get into college football coming up next and college basketball with Iowa State and the Cyclones. Ben Visser is going to be joining us. We'll take a look at what ISU has upcoming, the matchup with Drake, North Dakota State before the Iowa game next week. We're also going to talk some wrestling with Ben. Ben covers the wrestling program, and I know a big wrestling fan. Interesting to get his perspective as Iowa State wrestles this weekend. Regardless of what Jamie Pollard says, you can catch it on BTN to go. By the way, I know you had something to say about that. I don't think we've talked about Pollard's comments.
We haven't.
So he tweets out, I can't believe this game isn't on TV. A guy that his own football game this Saturday is not on television unless you have Cyclones TV. That he's talking about a wrestling beat not being on TV.
Troll bait. Troll on, troller. A troll respects a troll, baby. I love it. And I know a lot of people don't like him. It's interesting, the Iowa State fans that like him and don't like him. I respect what he's done. But I think what I said at the time was viewer discretion is advised if you're watching that Iowa State wrestling match.
Oh, it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be ugly. And Iowa's coming. If you've been following recruiting at all, it's not going to be this year. It's not. But they're coming. They're finally going to be somebody that's about ready to challenge Penn State and Kale Sanderson, because really they haven't been challenged that much.
Outside of Ohio State's national championship year a couple years back, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's time. So I think Iowa is coming. It's not this year, folks. I mean, follow Iowa State. I think Iowa State's coming. They're getting recruits. They've got a whole bunch of former Iowa wrestlers. If you've seen that coaching staff, Trent,
yes.
I mean, it's woo. Tons of Hawkeyes. Very interesting.
Old Dresser, the head man, former Hawkeye.
Yeah.
And Metcalf. And they've put together a good group. We'll get into that coming up next. Ben Visser joins us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We're talking Cyclones next on The Drive, 1700 The Champ. We continue on here in the 5 o'clock hour. Time to talk Cyclones. Ben Visser joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette as we talk Iowa State football, basketball, a little wrestling also with the Cy-Hawk matchup coming up this weekend. Hey, Ben, before we get into it, of course, you work at the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Articles there, read them online at thegazette.com. But I was at my in-laws over the weekend for Thanksgiving, and I'm reading the Sioux City Journal, and sure enough, reading the Cyclone article, and I look up at the byline, you're there too. You're all across the state, Ben.
Yeah, I am. So obviously I write and work for the Gazette, but the Sioux City Journal, the Waterloo Courier, and the Globe Gazette also pick up my stories. So I'm all over the state. You're right about that.
So you get four times the amount of money, right?
Unfortunately, I do not. I wish I did.
Yeah, that would be nice, no doubt about it. Well, Ben, we got so many different things to get into. Let's start first with the football matchup with Drake. And, you know, talking to some of my Cyclone friends that are keeping an eye on the weather, kind of dependent on if they're going to go and at least tailgate one final time, those kind of things. Matt Campbell, from the beginning, ever since they lost the South Dakota State game, he has been steadfast that he wanted a 12th game. They got Incarnate Word, then they ran into the problems with them qualifying for the FCS playoffs. What was it? What was it that it seems like Matt Campbell, more than anything, didn't matter who the opponent is, he just wanted to have this 12th game?
Yeah, I think it was just to, it's an easy answer, but get another game under their belt. He said, I talked to him one-on-one on Tuesday, and he was saying that it's so much easier for players to get motivated for game preparation than it is for him to try to use different motivation and incentivizing tactics to try to get them motivated, because they would have practiced either way this week, but now they actually have a goal in mind, and that goal is to get better for Drake. And I wrote about this for my game day story. The beneficial part of this is Iowa State is one of only a handful of teams that's playing and got prepared for a 13th game. Obviously, they didn't play their first game, but they're preparing for their 13th game. And the only other schools that are doing that are conference championship teams. So that's really big, and I think it's going to be really important for Iowa State, because their bowl opponent, whoever it's going to be, isn't preparing for a game this week. So just that extra week of game preparation, I think, could be big for Iowa State.
Yeah, Ben, what has Coach Campbell said about Drake? I remember back in the day growing up listening, it was kind of the joke about Lou Holtz. He'd be playing a nobody, and he'd just build him up to be like, oh, you know, you got to look out. I won't do my impersonation of Lou Holtz. That would not come off well. But is there something Coach Campbell is saying about Drake? And I'm sorry I'm giggling. I don't mean to be giggling here, but is there something he is saying about Drake that is maybe the one or two things that concern him most about Drake?
He didn't really point to anything specific, offense or defense wise, that concern him. Drake obviously has a good defense as far as FCS teams go. Mm-hmm. But the thing that Campbell said about Drake was that they prepare really well. He said similar to how he prepares, and that was pretty much the thing. He said you can tell on tape that they prepare well. They know what they're doing. They know where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. So they sound like a disciplined team is the thought I got from him.
Game plan if this thing gets out of control. You know, if it's 28-0 after the first, is it playing a lot of backups or even from the get-go? You know, a guy like Mike Warren that had a great freshman season, stuck around, would have been very easy for him to transfer somewhere else and do something. Can we see him tote the football 20, 25 times and get it from the get-go? What's kind of the game plan overall and different guys and playing time that they're going to use?
Right. Matt Campbell was asked this question about four different ways on Tuesday during his press conference.
Yeah.
And he refused to answer it every single time.
Okay.
So he didn't really give a good barometer of what his plan is. But I would guess there's going to be a heavy dose of Kyle Kempt and Mike Warren, and then we're going to see some young guys like Rial Mitchell and maybe a guy like Chandler Pulvermacher, a linebacker who has been playing. He's played three games, so he has one more game left. Campbell indicated that he'd like to get him some time. So that would be my guess. like you said, it might not be pretty early. The game might be over within the first quarter or two. So the young guys will play, but Campbell refused to say that what their plan was with it. So, yeah, I think a good guess is getting Mike Warren some touches, obviously getting Kyle Kemp a few throws in there, and then turn it over to the true freshmen who still have games left to keep their red shirts and some other redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomore types who haven't seen the field maybe as much as they'd like.
Yeah, Ben Wolfgang here. Matt Campbell getting the Big 12 co-coach of the year for the second straight year. That's a pretty prestigious award. What did he say about that when you guys talked to him?
Yeah, he actually got the award after we were able to talk to him, so we haven't talked to him at all about the coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've talked to Campbell enough times that I feel like he'd just say, yeah, it's a great honor and great award, but I'm focused on this week's game. So a little bit Bill Belichickian in that way, but yeah, I'm sure he does appreciate the honor. And I mean, it's voted on by the league coaches, so that means the league coaches obviously respect him, and Lincoln Riley, who also obviously deserves quite a bit of respect for the job he's done down there.
Speaking of that, also the Big 12 honors come out. The first team only had one Cyclone listed on it. Kansas had three guys on there, a little bit of head-scratching, but tons of guys on second team, tons of guys also getting honorable mention consideration. Who was the biggest snub? Who's the guy that you look at that should have been on the first team that wasn't?
My vote is Hakeem Butler. I don't understand how he doesn't get on it. David Montgomery missed essentially two games. His yards per carry weren't as good as either Puka Williams or Justice Hill. His yardage wasn't as good. He scored more touchdowns than Justice Hill, I believe. So I can see both of those guys getting in over David. Now, you could make an easy argument that David should have gotten in over them. I'm not saying that he didn't deserve it, but Hakeem Butler, in my mind, I don't understand how he doesn't make it. Three receivers are named first team all Big 12. Hakeem is like first or second in yards per catch. He has 9 touchdowns. He's 15 yards away from breaking Iowa State's single-season receiving yardage record. He's been outstanding. He has less receptions and more yards than I think 2 out of 3 on the list. So he's more productive when the touches that he does get. David Sills got like 15 or 18 touchdowns, somewhere in that range this season, but his yardage didn't compete with Butler's in my mind, and I don't know. Hakeem Butler, in my mind, is the biggest snub.
Yeah, Ben, Butler with the unbelievable, like, magnificent catches, like, almost like he's toying with you. If you have a younger kid or a younger sibling or a younger cousin, he's, like, essentially toying with you. It's embarrassing making some of those catches. And then other times he has drops. Do you think it'd be more beneficial for him to leave now? Just having everybody know those magnificent catches he can make, and, oh, he might have a drop or two. If he comes back and still has those magnificent catches and continues to drop this stuff, then you start wondering about it. What do you think about that, Ben?
Right, I think you're right on. If I'm Hakeem Butler, I am probably leaving for the NFL. I'm not sure what exactly his draft stock is, but I'm not sure it's going to get much higher because scouts are going to put on the Kansas tape, they're going to put on the Oklahoma tape, and they're just going to be amazed by his strength because he's a slight frame, but he's strong for how slight he is, I guess. Yeah, if I'm Hakeem Butler, I think I'm leaving this year. It's a little. I'm going to bring up David Montgomery right now. Mm-hmm. David, I think, has to go just because a running back shelf life is so short that he needs to get to the NFL and make his money while he can, while he's still healthy. Hakeem, a wide receiver, it's still a contact position, but it's not as contact as running back. So he could come back and he could raise his draft stock if he eliminates some of those drops. But like you said, if he does come back and he does still drop every now and again, it could end up hurting him. He could fall to like the third or fourth round instead of being a second round pick like he could be this year. So if I'm Hakeem, I think I'm going, but it's ultimately up to him.
Yeah, Ben, and I get it if you don't know these numbers. I mean, we've heard stuff come out about Fant. Back in the day, we heard stuff come about, you know, George Kittle or whoever. Do you have, like, what we might possibly see from a Butler in a vertical leap, in a 40-yard dash, or a, and I'm a big Montgomery guy, I'm worried a little bit about his top-end speed. He hangs onto the ball. He doesn't fumble, unlike the kid from Wisconsin who I've gotten into it, you know, with people about Twitter. I love, you know, how he can miss. Do you have any sort of, like, 40-yard dash time for me, or 20-yard dash, or vertical on some of those two players specifically?
I don't. Pro Day will be a, obviously much better indicator for that, but I've seen other places that if Butler runs anywhere close to a 4.5 or under 4.5, he's in really, really good shape. Mm-hmm. I would assume that's the same for Dave Montgomery. I'm with you. Dave Montgomery doesn't have the best top-end speed, but the way he's his balance is unbelievable. His balance and strength is like no one I don't think I've ever seen. I mean,
yes,
Barry Sanders
awesome.
Notwithstanding, but like no one I've ever seen. So he makes up for his lack of speed, if you want to call it that. But Butler, yeah, he's faster than Alan Lazard, so that those comparisons in my mind aren't really accurate. And I think Alan ran a 4.55, if I remember that right. So I would guess Hakeem's going to be about a 4.5. He might even get into the high 4.4s if he runs well. So we'll see what he does. Vertical leap, I'm sure. I mean, Hakeem comes from a basketball background. I would be shocked if he had anything under a 38-inch vertical. I'm guessing it could be in the 40s, though. He can jump.
Like Zion, maybe.
And I'm not saying Zion, but he can get off the ground for sure.
Speaking of Zion, let's jump over to little Cyclone basketball. Win on Monday night against Omaha. They get North Dakota State up next before next Thursday. It'll be Iowa State from Carver. Cameron Lard and Zaron Talley back from suspension. Any hurdles still to clear? Or are they good to go for Monday night?
Prohm has indicated that they are good to go. He said that's been the plan since the beginning, that December 3rd, they're good to go. He was asked about it after the Omaha game, and he said, yep, they're still on track. They're still good to go. So they've been practicing with the team the entire time. It's not like they've been injured. Well, Zaron Talley did break his nose, but he's been practicing with a mask on. But they've been practicing with the team, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of lineups they run out there with, who the starters are, who comes off the bench, and those sorts of situations.
Yeah, tell me about how Prohm might distribute the minutes. I mean, every coach is different. Kirk Ferentz in football seems to put so much on how you are in practice, and then sometimes we roll our eyes, well, that guy's getting it done during the game. Why aren't you playing him more? You know what I mean? How about Iowa State basketball? How do you expect him to do that? Is this all going to be a practice thing? Are there guys that are player guys that he'll put some emphasis on that, Ben?
Right. I'm guessing for now he's just going to go off of practice, but Cam Lard last year, obviously he had, I think, 8 double-doubles, if I remember correctly, but he had some other games where he scored like 4 points and had 6 rebounds. He had down games, too. So I'm guessing Prohm wants to see more consistency out of him, and with the way Michael Jacobson's been playing, it's going to be hard to either take Michael Jacobson out of the starting rotation or reduce his minutes because he's been playing so well. So I'm guessing for the first game, at least the first game, the starting lineup's going to be pretty close to the exact same with Cameron Lard and Zaron Talley coming off the bench. That's just my guess. I don't know. We're going to talk to Prohm on Friday, which is tomorrow. So we're probably going to get a better idea of what his plan is tomorrow. But my initial guess is he's going to try to keep the starting lineup the same for now. And then before Iowa, he might try to tweak it. And depending if Lindell Wigginton gets back from his foot injury and when he gets back from that, he'll get inserted in the starting lineup right away in place of Tyrese Halliburton. But for Cameron Lard, it'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see if he starts over Michael Jacobson or if Jacobson keeps his starting spot, because Jacobson has been playing unbelievably well so far.
Yeah, he has taken a big step forward during that redshirt year on the offensive end of the floor. He's been really good and continuing to do his great things on the defensive side of things. Ben, before we let you go, we're talking with Ben Visser here from the Cedar Rapids Gazette on the Cyclone beat. I know you're a big wrestling guy. Iowa State, the matchup coming up this weekend. It is, it hasn't been a great match many times throughout the years, and Iowa State still building. For the here and now, this doesn't look like on paper it's going to be a great matchup, but looking forward, when you look at what Dresser and company is doing up there at Iowa State, How close are they getting to being up in that competitive level, becoming a top 10 program again?
Right. Much closer than they were last year. The addition of Willie Miklas, addition of Willie Miklas at 197 has helped a lot. He was a three-time All-American at Missouri, transferred to Iowa State to be closer to home. He's from the Des Moines area originally. So his addition has helped a lot. I mean, that's almost a free 3 points every time you step out on the mat, at least. He's number five in the nation. So his addition has been huge. And then the development of guys like Austin Gomez, who's a redshirt freshman at 133, Ian Parker, Jarrett Dagan, those guys. When I talked to Dresser on Tuesday, he was saying that this match is going to be a really good barometer of where Iowa State is at. Because last year, if you watched the meet, it was not even close. I would just wipe the mat with Iowa State. And Iowa State wrestlers showed little to no fight. I think the only match Iowa State won was a forfeit by Iowa. So he's saying it's still, Dresser admitted, I was probably going to win the dual meet, but he wants to see actual fight from his guys. If they fight, and let's say at 165 you got Alex Marinelli against Brady Jennings. Well, Alex Marinelli is heavily favored in that match, but if Jennings keeps it close and keeps it within a decision, that's a win for Iowa State. It's not a win, but it's a win for Jennings because that means he showed fight and he actually stayed in the match. So that's going to be the thing to look for from Iowa State's side. I was probably going to win. I think KJ Pelcher, our Cedar Rapids Gazette wrestling main guru, had the match something like 25-12 on paper in favor of Iowa. But if Iowa State shows fight, I think you have to be happy with that at least. And then as the years go on, as David Carr gets off his red shirt and as Austin Gomez keeps developing, you're going to see Iowa State inch closer and closer to the top 10.
Ben, have you ever messed with a guy with cauliflower ear before?
No, absolutely not. No, I like to think I'm much smarter than that.
You are much smarter than that. Quick question. How close, like, I think I was close, not this year, but maybe next year or the year after. It looks like I was coming. Is
the,
Iowa
the State Kemmer, coming? The Kemmer injury is he's out for the year. I mean, that really derailed any hopes of pushing Penn State this year. But go ahead, Wolfgang.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In terms of Iowa State, like, I know this year it's not going to happen, but for being, like, big-time relevant, what are you seeing out of Iowa State? How long before they're, like, top five relevant, have a shot to, I mean, make noise?
2 or 3 years away. Once David Carr, he had some pretty good incoming freshmen with him. Joel Shapiro, Dugan from Iowa City was another one. I'm forgetting his first name right now, but Francis Dugan. He had some really good other incoming freshmen with him. And then Gomez is a year older than him. Dagan will be a senior when Carr is a sophomore. So I think when Carr is in that sophomore range is when Iowa State's going to be close to top five, because Carr by himself is just an unbelievable wrestler. And then if Colbrey develops like the coaching staff wants, Parker keeps going on his track, I think that's all Jessica can ask for at this point.
Well, Ben, sounds like you got a puppy that's after you there, and we're going to let you go. I know you got a busy weekend coming up, and it all starts with Iowa State Drake in football, Iowa State wrestling, and then back Monday with the basketball with North Dakota State. A busy one. We'll let you get back to it. Thanks for giving us some time today.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Ben Visser joining us, talking Iowa State, the Cyclones, and going to get a little wrestling talk in here. You think we should? The problem is Iowa State is still early in their development as a program. I mean, you look at the match, but you know, with that, I mentioned that Kemmerer losing him for the year.
That was, a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. If Kemmerer's there, of course, you have Lee at the top. I mean, there was a path this year for Iowa to win a national title. Mm. Now without Kemmerer, I can't envision. I don't think the math works.
And that's where we get snobby. You're from the state of Iowa. If you're not playing for the national championship, now I know what the Blue Bloods, the Duke basketball, the Oklahoma football, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of our defensive coordinator, you know, in midseason. Let's get rid of, I get it. This is how we do things in Iowa when our wrestling programs aren't. And he knew his stuff. That was kind of fun. And I'm not talking, I don't want to do an hour on it, but yeah. What's wrong with 5 minutes here and there, Trent?
Well, we will have a whole lot more to come coming up tomorrow. But before that, we still got another segment to do. We'll do that next as we continue taking a look at tonight and a whole lot more as we roll through on a Thursday edition. It's The Drive on 1700 The Champ. Trenton Wolfgang back with you one final time here on The Drive 1700 The Champ. Wolfgang, All right. So, we got football tonight. I told you earlier we got NBA tonight that I'm excited about. College basketball stinks overall tonight. So what are you watching? A little Grey's Anatomy with the wifey tonight? Is that what you got on the plans?
I don't know. I'm excited for the NFL and the NBA game.
Yep.
There's other nights that are going to stink worse than this. That's not horrible.
You looked at me when I brought up the Raptors and the Warriors like I had two heads. I was surprised.
Because I was actually a little bit on the Raptors more than most. Everybody else went Celtics.
Sure.
Philly, and then maybe, am I missing one in between there, then the Raptors. Raptors were number one last year. They bring in one of the best two-way players in the NBA. I don't know how you would say not.
And LeBron's gone. LeBron's to the West.
And what
that was their bugaboo.
About? What do we always talk about? Matchups. Sometimes matchups are something.
Yeah.
They had a lot of wins last year. They are a good team this year. We'll see.
And they got a great coach.
Yeah.
Dick Nurse. Iowa guy. Carroll kid.
How do we get him on? You got to have some connections
I
there,
do.
For real.
I knew Nick really well when he was coaching the Energy. I'm sure we could get him on.
So absolutely. He would be, I'm trying to think, age?
Mid-40s.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought older than that.
Maybe. Yeah,
no, he's older than that.
Late 40s?
I would say late 40s, yeah.
We got this new contract.
I wasn't going Jeopardy with you here, but I was just wondering. It's good that he finally got his break. You might be right. I don't think he's 44.
51.
There we go. That sounds more right. Just remembering back in the day when they played who, Trent? Help me, Missouri, right? Was he a part of that? Man, I'm going back. You're testing my memory. I'm sorry.
They upset Missouri in the NCAA tournament?
He was part of that, right? And that was so long ago. My gosh, help me.
Lost to Minnesota in the round of 32 with Willie Burton, who had a broken nose.
Willie Burton. That was Willie Burton, huh?
Yes.
I thought Willie Burton might have been a little later. Okay.
Yep. Willie Burton was a part of that Gophers team that went into the Sweet 16. I remember it well because it was right around March Madness, obviously, when you and I pulled that shocker as a 14 seed over Missouri. Newbie.
Newbie.
Get the shot. But
what's that like to win an NCAA tournament game, Trent? Tell me.
Yeah, it's been a while, huh?
Please. I would love you to wax poetically.
I was 1-2 in recent history.
Creighton, and who was the other one?
No, not Creighton. They beat Davidson, and then got throttled by Gonzaga.
Well, we beat Creighton with Alford.
Well, yeah, that was a long time ago.
So Franz beat 1-2.
He's 1-2.
I mean, I can't even remember him. This is so pathetic.
Beat Temple on the Woodbury tip-in. How can you they had a buzzer beater. You forgot about the Woodbury buzzer beater.
And that's my man.
And you call yourself a Hawkeye
fan? That was my dude, too. I was the only guy that would stick up for him. Everybody else had a problem with, I don't care. If you can't jump, yet you're still successful getting it done and leading, I like you more.
I'm surprised you don't have that up in the man cave, a poster of
Trent,
Woodbury.
I'm not like that.
You either
win it all or you win nothing to me. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that didn't mean anything. It did.
So you must have hated Dr. Tom then, too. Because that's what he did. He won the opening game.
Yeah, he won the opening. Yes, he did. And I went to his basketball camp.
Yeah.
And he would come in his pajamas looking like death. And I know he's not a big partier. Okay, but I've never seen anybody that looked worse at 8 in the morning than Tom Davis. And
he's probably at the golf course a long time the night before.
Doggy. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I just wanted to say, just hit the shower, hit something. You look like you just had the worst nightmare ever times about a zillion. Ask anybody that went to Dr. Tom's basketball camps, and they're laughing their butts off right now.
I was there.
Am I making this up?
I'll tell you, one of the years that I went, Trey Bullitt, before he got kicked off the team, I saw him firing up 3-pointer. I'm like, oh, this dude, he's got athleticism. He can shoot it. And never made it. Jeff Walker.
Before
he started taking credit cards. I think that's what it was. Calling cards, something weird like that.
I do remember. Yeah, from Illinois, I think he was.
Ah, boy. The great, great time going down that path. Cowboys are keeping this close tonight, by the way. Just to let you know. It's happening. The Cowboys are keeping this thing close.
So why are you so down about tonight's games? If we got a stud potential NBA final game going on where both teams care, Curry's not playing yet, but so it doesn't mean that much. They're 5-5 without Curry. And by the way, I may need to reevaluate. I know Curry's awesome.
Okay? Yes.
I've always said he's awesome. I was a fan when they came to Des Moines. I was there cheering my butt off. I've gotten a little bit down on him for his tough guy acting like he's a tough guy. You're not a tough guy just because you make a 29-footer. That doesn't make you a tough guy. Quit getting in guys' faces acting like you want to fight. You don't. Either do you, Durant. That's the only problem with him. You guys are unbelievably awesome basketball players. And Curry is. They're 5-5 without Curry, Trent. And some of the stats that you're starting to read, you go, well, dude, maybe I don't realize how good he is. Because all of the numbers when he is there versus when he's not, and I'm not just talking wins and losses. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's just like LeBron. Whenever LeBron didn't play for the Cavs or you watch LeBron leave a team, they can't win a damn game. And that you're, I'm not saying it's to that degree with Curry, but I think maybe I don't value how good of a player Curry is. I know that sounds stupid, does it?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
How good is he?
He's great. He's an all-time great. He's the best shooter in NBA history.
I would never put him as the second best player in today's game, but I'm starting to rethink that. See, I have Durant ahead of him, and now I'm starting to wonder. If Durant is only going 5-5 without him, well, they made it to an NBA final and broke the number of wins, you know, without Durant.
It's another reason that Durant's a punk. That's the biggest reason he's a punk.
So I'm starting to rethink things. I'll rethink that. I know you're a huge NBA guy, and I'm sure you're just loving me just blabbing on about this, but it interests me. I mean, when I don't like being wrong, but I like rethinking things, and I think maybe I've always known Curry was a stud, but the things that he extends in this new basketball and how he opens up things for other people, that's interesting to me.
With that, you ate up all our time. That's all right, though.
Let's talk some more wrestling.
What, tomorrow? Preview Iowa State wrestling. We'll preview Iowa Wisconsin. We will get ready for Iowa State Drake. We'll make our picks. Awful performance out of us last week. Yeah. We'll try to do better this week.
We've done fine.
We had done fine. Last week was atrocious. Where'd you go? 1-7 in your picks? You lost a lot of money.
Well, I lost $400. I got $300 on Oklahoma. All right.
We'll get to that tomorrow. We're out of time. We're out of here.
You just wanted to make me look bad. You couldn't have just cut me off.
That's what I did. We'll be back tomorrow here at 4 o'clock. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening in. Thursday Night Football, the Saints and the Cowboys, up next on 1700 The Champ.